This is a lesson this morning that has to do with worldliness. We have been going through a series on this subject. Usually the series had been preached on Sunday evening, but this morning I thought the subject matter would fit very well with the Sunday morning audience. And we're going to talk about some things that all of us know something about. Television, movies, music, the internet. Well, some of you may not know much about the internet, but we'll try to enlighten you about that. And video games. Now, I know that the Bible says absolutely nothing about television. Doesn't say anything about movies specifically. Doesn't say anything about the internet or video games. It does say some things about music. But what does the Bible say? What principles are found in the Scriptures that can help us understand the dangers that are out there and discern between what's good for us and what is not good for us? Are there dangers? Are there things on television that can destroy us, that can harm us? You remember the little song that we sang during vacation Bible school when we were little? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. No, that song has meaning. There's a reason why we need to think about that. And began thinking about that when we were little. What we take into our eyes affects how we think, and it affects how we behave. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. What we see, what we hear, affects what we think. And again, what we think brings about our actions. In fact, you think about the next three things mentioned in that song. Oh, be careful, little mouth, little hands, and little feet. What if little eyes do not take in things that alter their thinking? What if the eyes do not see sinful things and the ears do not hear sinful things? They're only enlightened with good and wholesome things. How is that going to affect your mouth, your hands, and your feet? You see what I'm saying? But what if you're taking in things that are wicked, things that are evil, vile? What if you take those things in? Now, you may know those things are wrong, but you still take them in. Eventually, what's going to begin to happen to your thinking? And eventually what's going to begin to happen with our mouth and with our hands and with our feet? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus says the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the life that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Here Jesus is talking about focus. What are we focused on? What has got our eyes' attention? What are we taking into our heart on a daily basis? You know, we get up in the morning and we may fix our cereal, or we may cook our bacon and eggs and biscuits and gravy and pancakes and all that. We may get up and we feed ourselves every morning when we get out of bed. And then about lunchtime we'll eat again, probably, and then at supper time, we'll gather around the table and we'll eat again. We're always feeding our body. Does it matter to you what kind of things you put into your body? Are you health conscious? I hope that you are. At least to some degree. I hope that you're not a junk food junkie. Because that's not good for you. In several ways. What we put into our body affects how our body works and what it does. But it's necessary for our existence. Now listen, what we put into our mind, what we take in through our eyes and through our ears, affects our spiritual life. It affects our spirit, our soul. And if we are focused on things that are ungodly, if that is what we're taking in primarily, when we get up in the mornings and we feed upon something coming through our eyes or through our ears, what is it? Do we get up thinking about God's Word? Do we get up thinking about God? Do we get up praying to God? Are we thinking about things that are spiritual? Are we reading things that are spiritual? Or do we take in a whole lot more by comparison, things that are material, things that are worldly, secular? We need to focus. Focus on things that matter. Focus on spiritual things. Okay, I've made that point. We need to realize we are influenced by the things we see and hear. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things that John mentions, they are the avenues through which temptation comes. They are the avenues through which temptations come. And thus, when we respond to them in an unlawful way, those temptations that come through those three avenues, we sin in those three ways. Lust of the flesh, things that we want for our flesh. Lust of the eyes, things that we want to gain, things that are beautiful and are appealing to our eyes, to our senses. And the pride of life. We need to realize that Satan is trying to tempt us. He's trying to destroy us. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That includes you. He's after you. He's after me. And we need to understand that. And what do you think some of the means that he uses are? Do you think that maybe television, movies, music, internet, video games may be a means by which he tries to get into your mind, get into your heart? I suggest to you that he does. He uses every means possible, including those things. Our thoughts affect who and what we are. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And influenced by our surroundings. In Psalm 51 and verse 5, David there, in fact, so many people, I think, miss the boat on this particular point that David is making. The reality is he is saying, look, my environment has so affected me. I was born into this sinful world. I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me. He's talking about his environment. And our environment is wicked. There's no question about that. And we need to understand that. Our environment is wicked. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, evil communications corrupt good morals. We need to be careful about the things we allow to come into our eyes, our ears, into our minds through those avenues. We need to think seriously about that. And we need to understand that most of what we hear and see in this world is bad for us. Now, it's not a sin in and of itself to see those things. It's a sin, though, and it can become sin if we allow those things to take hold in our heart. Make a home there. Build it. Build itself up in our heart. And then we begin to think like the world wants us to think. But clearly, television, movies, music, internet, and video games are avenues through which worldliness enters into Christians today. As Christians, we should detest sin. We should abhor it. We should hate it. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. Our view towards sin should be the same as God's. We should hate the sin and love the sinner. But we must hate sin. We must be as the psalmist in Psalms 119 and verse 104. Therefore, I hate every false way. And we ought to blush at wrongdoing. The people of God had grown to a point where they were not able to blush at sin. We need to blush. Now, when things come on television or in a movie, a curse word is said. Something is done in the movie that has sexual content. How do we think about that? On television, you see two men kissing. How do you feel about that? I tell you how I feel about it. It makes me sick. How do you feel about it? We ought to blush at wrongdoing. It ought to nauseate us to some degree. It ought to bother us. In other words, it's possible to become desensitized to sin by all of this that's coming in. We see it so much, we become desensitized to it. And it doesn't affect us anymore. My friend, I'm telling you right now, If you're able to sit down and watch a movie that's filled with filthy, nasty language, and that doesn't bother you, you're watching something that's already affected you negatively. You need to stop and think about where you are spiritually. You really do. It is possible to become desensitized to sin. And that's a dangerous place for a Christian to be in. And we need to take heed lest we fall. This applies to all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. None of us are above falling. And so we all need to be careful. Okay. Here are some biblical principles, some things we need to think about. Now, if what I've stated here is true, that our attitude towards sin should be a certain attitude, and we should blush at wrongdoing, then what about what we see and hear in the world around us? When it comes to television, you know, television can be a waste of time. Just not a matter of sin, right, wrong. It just wasting time, though, is wrong, isn't it? We are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We are to be people who find work, and we're to be busy, industrious in that. And so, watching television can be a waste of time. Let me also say this. Television as a tool, just like any other tool, can be used for much good. It can be used for much good. It is not sinful. It is not evil in and of itself. Okay? But it is a tool that Satan is using as well. And we just need to be aware of that. And here are some ways that he's using it. He is getting people to waste their time sitting down watching television when they ought to be up working, when they ought to be up communicating with their family, when they ought to be up doing things such as reading the Bible. Satan is using television to draw us away from duty, away from relationships, and thus it can be a waste of time. Television can control us. We can allow it to control us. It can affect how we learn. I read an interesting article yesterday about the effects of television on children. And one of the things that was stated is, you know, it didn't approach it from a right or wrong position. It just said, our children are suffering because they're not able to read very well. And it's not just, they're able to, you know, they know the words. They can read the words. In fact, their vocabulary may be very big because they watch so much television that they have a very big vocabulary. But when you set them down and you begin to put these words together, they have a hard time making the connection and understanding what is being said. And so they have a hard time learning. And it can control what we deem to be important in life. We begin to see people on television having a perfect, wonderful relationship, so it appears, you know. They're always having a wonderful time. They're always having fun and excitement. And it begins to, you know, we look at our life and say, man, my life is boring. This looks fun. You know, and how come my life's not exciting like that? Well, I want my life to be exciting like that. So we begin to allow TV to control what we see as important. And we begin to try to live what we see on television. We can certainly begin to believe things that are wrong because we have allowed television to paint a picture for us that is not real life. So it can control us. You know, network television has goals. Every one of them. Whether it's cable networks or broadcasting networks, whatever it may be, the number one concern they have is money. That's number one. They're wanting to make money. Now, how do you think they're going to go about making money? Well, they are going to put shows on that they think people want to see, that people will watch. Because in order to do that, they have to sell advertising. So advertising also is important. They have to have viewers in order to sell the advertising. Now, sometimes I understand that advertising dictates what a show is. But the number one thing is money. It's money. And secondly, a philosophy. I submit to you that there is a philosophy behind Hollywood, and there is a philosophy behind network television. I'm not saying that every network has the same philosophy. But many of them, no question, they push immorality on the public. There is no question that they push ungodly attitudes. There is no question that it is worldly content and even atheism constantly pushed through television. These programs are anti-family, anti-social, and definitely anti-God. When you begin to think of most television that's on TV on today, what kind of programs do you think about? In fact, you think about the sitcoms that are on right now on ABC, CBS, and NBC. You think about those sitcoms. How many of them are wholesome? How many of them teach godly principles, family-oriented principles? Or do they rather teach fornication, running around on each other? Do they teach a homosexual agenda? What is their agenda? When you think about what's on TV today, you have illicit sex portrayed as being fun, exhilarating, exciting, liberating, and having no consequences whatsoever, except people are having a good time doing it. Well, isn't that what they portray? But that's not the truth. Sin does have its consequences. Yes, illicit sex is sin. And language, immodest apparel, and violence. And even in commercials, you see immodesty. But language. Now, on network television, their standards have become a little more lax in recent years. There are still things they are not permitted to say on network television. But sometimes it's not the actual words that they use. It's the thought that comes across. It is the image that is portrayed. And they still get their message out without using filthy words. And yes, violence is also a part of it, where those who are criminals are actually portrayed as heroes fighting a corrupt establishment. Those who are portrayed, those criminals, they're portrayed as being ill or sick and they just can't help it. And it's society's fault. And you have unruly kids as sources of wisdom whose only need is to be freed from their dumb or stupid elders. Bart Simpson, ring a bell? This is the kind of thing that is portrayed in these and other programs like that. Unruly kids, they're the smart ones. Mom and dad know nothing. And you just don't see too many programs on today where parents are actually being parents. You know, when I was little, TV, you had a mom and a dad and obedient children. You had a family type television program to watch. Whether it was Leave It to Beaver or some of those other programs, it was different back then than it is today. Today, those who are elders are viewed as being ignorant and dumb. And anyone who talks about God, well, they're either a hypocrite or they're a dangerous maniac. You know, you have television shows, they have some religious people on there, but they're always looked down on. They're always run down, or at least most of the time they are. Very seldom are they held up in high esteem on television networks. But what about the movies? The same things apply to movies that apply to television as far as the content is concerned. But what do the ratings mean? General audiences. That means everybody. That's cartoons and things that Walt Disney makes, usually are rated G. Dr. Seuss Here's a Who, You know, you have movies like that. But you know what? I have seen G-rated movies that I really wouldn't want my children to watch. Have you? Now, our children probably will never figure out or understand the real meaning behind the movie. But as I'm watching, I say, you know, this movie is teaching something I don't want my children to see. So just because it has G on it does not necessarily mean that it's something appropriate. And PG, parental guidance suggested. And PG movies, they usually have some curse words in them. And there is sometimes some sexual content, and as long as it's not overt, they usually let it go. And it's more fits along what you see on television, the sitcoms and things. I mean, it's got some bad stuff in it. PG-13, supposedly a little stronger, but you know, you think about these ratings, rated R, under 17 requires accompanying a parent or adult guardian, and NC-17, that used to be the rated X. But you think about these, who is it that's doing the ratings on these movies? Is it godly Christians? No, it's not. It's people who are worldly minded. They're humanists. They are atheists. They're the ones who are making the guidelines. You as parents need any movie that your children sees, you need to know what that movie's about. And the reality is most movies glorify fornication. They contain nudity, filthy language. In fact, well, isn't it pathetic? You get a movie, or you sit down with somebody to watch a movie, and you thought it was going to be good, and you didn't take the time to read the review, and you thought it was going to be good, and it's just blank this and blank that and blank just all the way through the movie. If you were to just bleep out all of the expletives, you wouldn't know what they were talking about. Violence, anti-family, and many push the homosexual agenda. The Academy Awards this past year, it was sad, sad, sad. The guy that won Male Actor of the Year, John Penn, in his acceptance speech, bashed all those people and really made a... because he was in a movie called Milk, which is about a homosexual man who was persecuted. And I don't know all the details of the movie, but Sean Penn played this homosexual man that ran for mayor, wasn't it? I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, it got a lot of protest from Christian right activists and things. And there were signs as he was coming in to the theater to accept his reward. And they were, you know, homosexuality is sin, that kind of stuff. And he just let, on national TV, just let everybody who was against homosexuality have it. But that movie won an Academy Award. Why? Because of its agenda. That's why. There is a website, if you're interested, you can go to, called ScreenIt.com. ScreenIt.com. And they have some good reviews. There is a cost, a very minimal cost, just a little bit a month, I think, but they give you the full details of what's in a movie. And parents, it'd be worth your time, I do believe, to look at that. So, we need to think about music. What about music? Much of music, same thing. It's worldliness. It glorifies worldly living. It glorifies fornication and adultery. It advocates violence. It contains filthy language. Now, you know, be honest though, many of the songs that I hear, where there are a lot of curse words, you can't understand what they're saying anyway. And that just defeats the whole purpose of a song. But I guess if you listen to it enough, you figure it out. And if you learn the lingo, you'll understand it. But many of them, they contain filthy language. And that group there, that picture, cradle of filth. Any of you ever heard of cradle of filth? We were in Larry's Pizza 2 weeks ago, eating pizza. Kevin Kelly from Hot Springs and several of us, several Christians got together, and we were eating lunch in Larry's Pizza. And one of our waitresses came with a shirt that had on the back, Cradle of Filth, and had a list of their songs and everything that was on their album on the back of it. And she was just bragging because my son plays in this band. Cradle of Filth. If you were a mother, would you be bragging that your son played in a band called Cradle of Filth? And their songs, it's terrible. You know, it's about sin, devil doing this and glorifying the devil. It's Satanism, I think. I haven't listened to any of the music, but just going by the titles and just looking at their faces, it appears there's something devilish going on there. They honor immoral practices. Much of music glorifies drinking, alcohol, and drug abuse. Ridicules godliness. Now, I want to say this. Look, I'm not going to bash rap music specifically, or heavy metal specifically, or country specifically. I tell you, every music genre has problems. Every one of them. They all have the bad apples. Every one of them. In fact, if either Michael or Brandon had told me that they wanted to be a musician and they wanted to play in a band and they wanted to travel the world and they wanted to make money selling albums, you know what? That would scare me to death. Because that lifestyle, it will do nothing. It does nothing but destroy people's lives. It is a worldly, ungodly business, generally speaking. When it comes to music videos, that's a big thing, you know, watching music videos, whether it be on the computer, on YouTube, or whether it be watching on MTV or CMT or whatever it may be. They do promote lewdness, dancing, immodest apparel, behavior, violence, drinking, drug use, fornication, filthy language, even Satanism. And of course, I don't know if you can tell on the screen or not. Probably not. Thriller by Michael Jackson. And I know Michael Jackson passed away last week. But there you have a very sad story, in my opinion. A very sad story. Very talented young man. But, I think it's the nature of the business. But he is the one that invented, if you will, the video music industry. And the Thriller album was one of the first video albums. It was a big seller. In fact, I do believe that Thriller is still the number one selling album of all time. But have you ever watched Michael Jackson dance? Have you ever watched other people on these videos dance? What are they promoting? What's it about? Does it appear to be about promoting sex or sexual activity to you? And what about some of the songs? I don't care whether it's country, pop, rock, heavy metal, rap, whatever it may be. I mean, in country music, you've got songs about drinking. In fact, a lot of them. Hank Williams Jr., Whiskey Bent and Hellbound. Doesn't get much more blatant than that, does it? Brought me up beside the jukebox till I die, put a cold one in my hand, you know? What are we thinking about? What is it? Whether it's country, I like country music. If I was going to pick a genre, that would be the one that I would like, and there are a lot of good songs out there. But there are a lot of them that do not present good, godly morals. We need to be aware of it. And those things are coming into our eyes, through our eyes and through our ears. Now what about The internet. The internet, like television, radio, incredible tool. It's an amazing tool. I still have not figured out how in the world can you type in a couple of words in Google, click enter, and just a few seconds, all these things start coming up. How does it do that? How does it search all these websites in the world and finds this stuff so quickly? I don't know. It is an awesome tool. I don't know how I ever lived without the internet, doing research and things like that. It's an awesome tool. There is so much information out there that you can get your hands on now that was not available just a few years ago. I mean, you can go to the Library of Congress and read books. You know, there's just so much stuff that you can do, so much research that you can do, and so much knowledge that can be gained. But just like everything else, it can be misused. And much of the same things regarding TV and music are true with the internet. We need to be careful about the time that we use. We need to use it as a tool and not as a crutch, not as something that, you know, that will detract our time from things that are more important. There are many temptations out there. My friend, the internet is one of those things that is yet to be controlled by government. And there's some good to that, and there's some bad to that. The good is, look, you can find what you need to find, usually. And it doesn't cost anything except what you pay your internet service provider. But there's a lot of temptation out there. There's a lot of bad stuff. You have pornography, YouTube videos. There are some good videos on YouTube. There are some funny videos on YouTube. There's some good material there. But there's some really bad material there too. And pornography, violence, scams, viruses, music and movie piracy. There's a lot of things out there that are not good. And we need to be aware of that. It's an amazing tool, but it can be misused. What about Facebook, MySpace, Twitter? What about those things? Nothing wrong with keeping in contact with your friends. And hey, Facebook is pretty cool. I mean, it helps you keep in contact with people that you hadn't seen in 25, 30 years, for me. People I went to school with have joined up, and they're on my Facebook page, and it's kind of cool knowing what they did and you know, where they are now and how they're doing. It's got some interesting and some cool applications to it. But, just like with anything else, time management. And not only that, people can put bad stuff on your site if you're not careful. So you need to take heed to that. Use it as a tool, but be careful how you use it. MySpace is a little worse. I think that there's more opportunity for bad things to get posted on your MySpace account. And I don't know nothing about, I don't know anything about Twitter. I have not Twittered yet. Video games. Many games are harmless in and of themselves. I used to enjoy playing video games. I haven't played one in a long time. But I enjoyed playing with my boys. Michael and Brandon, we played football, baseball, basketball, and some other things. And it's fun. Gives you a good chance to kind of to be with the kids and it's fine. But, you knew that was coming, didn't you? It can be addictive. You can allow video games to control you instead of you controlling them. You can allow them to waste your time, just like with television and movies and everything else. You can allow these things to steal your time away from being productive in your relationships, in your service to God, in your work. You can allow these things to waste your time. And some games contain sexual content. That's why they do have labels, ratings on the games. M-A, when it says M-A, which means mature, parents, take note, that means your child's not supposed to have it. It's got language. It's got sexual innuendos. You need to notice. Some games promote violence. Like, what's that game? Auto theft? Theft auto? What is it? Grand Theft Auto? Yeah, you steal cars, you run around, you run over people, you jump out and you shoot people with guns and all that kind of stuff. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Promotes stealing and violence and all these things. I mean, if we continually consume ourselves with this, what is going to be the effect of it? And bad language? We need to be careful about these things. Because the truth is, all of these things, television, movies, music, internet, video games, all these electronic devices that have come into our homes in the 20th and 21st century, you know, they can destroy families. And why do you think the divorce rates are going out the roof like they are? Why do you think that there are so many psychologists that are being called to solve and try to solve family problems and counselors? And why do you think that families are having more difficulty in the 2000s than they were in the 1940s and 50s? Why do you think? What has happened to American culture in the last 50 years that has caused the divorce rate to go up? What do you think? One commonality can be seen in all of that. It's the growth of television and media. We need to be careful about these things. Worldly influences can destroy the way that a person thinks about God and about his husband or wife or about his children. It can destroy the way that a child thinks about his mother and his father and God. We need to think about that. Adultery, insubordination, divorce. I mean, you turn on a sitcom. You turn on television programming today. And what are you going to find? You're going to find a bunch of people committing adultery, or they're in adulterous relationships, or they're divorcing. All kinds of things going on. Insubordination. The women's right movement has used the women's right movement to support its cause. Rebellious children, or I should say that the other way around. The women's rights movement have used television to support its cause, and I'm all for women being treated as equal as far as their job performance and all of that. Don't have any problem with that, but they do have their place, and that is where? That is serving the Lord where He has put them. And that is being the mother, that is being a wife, that is being in submission to their husbands. And husbands, you have the responsibility to be the husband and father. And you have your responsibility. And you need to keep your responsibilities. We need to be in the role that God put us in. But all of this stuff is trying to destroy that. Rebellious children. I mean, you watch Bart Simpson over and over and over again, and I'm telling you, it's going to affect how you think, if you're a young child, about your parents. Seems to me like it would anyway. You are what you eat, and you are what you think. And what you think is based upon what you take in. Alcohol, drug use, and violence, lewdness. Everybody else is doing it. That's what television tells you. That's what the movies tell you. Everybody else is doing it. These things steal time from God and family. I'm not saying that television, that movies, that music, the internet, or video games are wrong in and of themselves. I'm saying we as Christians need to be very careful how we use these things. We need to watch our children, making sure that they're watching things that are not dangerous for them. We need to limit their television time. We need to make sure that they're watching only so much because they have homework to do. They have other things to do, chores to do, and you know, we need family time away from a television set. So, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Have you seen the poem that, I wish I had a copy of it. I forgot, or I'd have tried to find it. But it talks about, it's called The Stranger. Have you ever seen that poem? The Stranger. And it goes back to the 60s. It talks about my dad. There was a stranger came into our house today. And it begins to describe the stranger and what he did and what he said, you know, and everything. And the stranger finally got to where he consumed everybody's time. Anyway, it was about the television set. And this stranger can corrupt our good morals if we're not very, very careful. Awake to righteousness, Paul says, and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some do not have the knowledge of God, and if they do not recognize the dangers and the harms that can be done. Satan is out to destroy us, and he is using every means possible, including television, movies, music, internet, and video games. Cell phones. I could have put that on the list too. Cell phones. The texting and the gaming and all of that. Nothing wrong with texting. Nothing wrong with gaming. But listen, when you send out 30,000 text messages in a month, there's something going on. That's not right. We need to talk to people. I think we're in a culture that's heading towards not knowing how to talk and communicate with one another verbally, visually, and we need to be careful about that. But our thoughts do affect who and what we are. And our thoughts are affected by what we take in through the eyes and through the ears. So my friend, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful what you see and what you hear. Because it does affect what your mouth says, what your hands do, and where your feet go. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Things that I said, you may have thought that a lot of those things were just a bunch of fanatic preacher talk, you know, sky is falling type stuff. But I want you to think about it. Consider what I said. And I want you to look and think about your own life and where you stand with God. That's the most important thing right now for you. If you're not a Christian, you're outside of salvation. You're lost. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope. And so that's the most important thing for you to think about right now. You need to turn to God. Because God does love us all, and He wants to save us all. But we must submit to His Son, Jesus Christ. We must follow Him. Give our hearts to Him. Give our lives to Him. And if that's something that interests you and you want to live for the Lord, then you need to let us know about that. If you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, well, you can become a Christian if you understand what you need to do this very morning. Maybe you're a Christian and you've allowed the world to influence you negatively. Our attitudes are very important. Television affects negatively our attitude towards God. And if you've done some thinking that's wrong because of the thing, you realize it now, because of your lifestyle, what you're allowing to come in. Change your lifestyle. Repent and turn back to God. God wants to forgive all of us. And say, so, won't you come as we stand and sing?